always good to hear that chatter going on before service, fellowshipping. It's just always a good sound to hear. So welcome, everyone, to Florence Boulevard, to our Sunday morning services, to those of you that are visiting with us. We really appreciate you being here this morning. And as always, we count you as an honored guest and hope that you will stay and attend Bible class with us. And again, just thank you for being here. We always appreciate visitors. We need to remember those of our number that are sick. We have a special request. We've been asked to remember Jerry Ann Alexander. She's been home with COVID the last 2 weeks. And her son-in-law, Matt Enos, also has COVID and pneumonia and bacterial pneumonia and is on oxygen. He's also a diabetic, and when they did a scan on him, they found an aortic aneurysm. He'll be seeing a cardiologist for this. Both are feeling some better. We've been asked to keep them in your prayer. So please remember Jerry Ann Alexander and her son-in-law, Matt Enos. So we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. So today we're excited. This is our first Sunday for Sunday Night for the Savior. So that it begins tonight after our evening services. And the Connect teams were sent out. You all should know which of the four teams you belong to, your family. And tonight we're asking Connect Team 2, because this is the second Sunday of the month, to stay and participate. It will begin at 6:15, right after our services tonight, and we're asking you to serve for 1 hour. And there'll be all kind of things to do tonight. And again, everyone's welcome to attend. So if you want to stay, we would encourage everyone to stay any Sunday night that you can, but especially Connect Team 2. So that'll be immediately following services, and we should be done around 7:15. The youth group, listen up, please. Tonight, the 7th through 12th grade, we'll be going to Cox Boulevard for the Battle of the Youth Groups. I think the bus was going to be taken, but I think it's not available yet. Is that correct? Not available. So John will be making different arrangements, the carpool tonight over to Cox Boulevard. Okay. Bus is fixed. I'll be leaving after services tonight. Thank you, John. And the 49ers. You're having a meal. The 49ers group will be on September the 23rd at 5:30 at Buddy and Margaret's house. You're to bring a covered dish, and the desserts, drinks, and the rolls are provided, and you're asked to RSVP, and their address is 811 County Road 61 in Florence, and you can contact them and let them know that you're going to be there. So all the announcements I have at this time. Let's enter into our worship. Let's all stand for our first song.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of the Spirit, washed in blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
be seated. Number 678. Number 678. Jesus, let us opening prayer will be number 478. Number 478.
Oh.
Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful to be gathered together here this morning. We pray that you will accept our praise that we offer to you. Lord, we know that you're the creator of the universe. We're so grateful for you, and we acknowledge that you're so holy and awesome and pure and true, Father, and we love you. And Father, as we reflect on our lives and we examine ourselves, we know that we have sin in many areas of our life that we need to give over to you. Father, help us to do that. Help us to put away those things that are not in accordance with your will. Help us to give more and more of our lives over to you, Lord. We love you. And oftentimes when we fall short, Father, and worshiping you in the assembly of the believers just reminds us how broken we are, but how incredibly awesome you are. And we pray that as we worship together, that it will be encouraging to one another, that it will strengthen our faith, that your message will be proclaimed, and that we will be equipped for the service to go out and carry out our respective ministries in this world, to point people towards you, towards your Son, Jesus, Lord. And we ask that you'll be with our congregation here. We pray you'll be with our elders, and you'll bless them with wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and discernment. Our deacons, we pray that you'll be with Austin as he delivers the sermons and teaches us more about your word. And we pray that you'll be with all the other teachers and the people who serve in their various capacities. Lord, we pray you'll strengthen our families here. And we pray that you'll be with us and help us to be a useful instrument in your world, Lord. Please forgive us of our sins. And as we proceed forward in worship, we ask that it will be done in spirit and in truth, and that every aspect will be carried out in a way that's in accordance with your scripture. And in Christ's holy name that we pray, amen.
Tis midnight and on Olive's brow the star is dim that lately shone. Tis midnight in the garden now the supreme
Good morning, church. If anyone doesn't have one of these goblets with the communion stuff in it, would you guys raise your hand and we'll have somebody come and bring it to you? Anybody? Fantastic. For those of you who may be new to the church or maybe are just new to our church, this is a moment in our worship service where we simply just pause. We pause and we remember the sacrifice that was given on our behalf. You see, we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 begins a recount of the night that Jesus and the disciples were together at the table. They were about to take the last meal there before Jesus' death. It says this. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup. Saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And church, that is simply our goal, our mission, is to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back. And so in this moment, in this time when we are gathered on a Sunday and we are singing praises to the Lord and we are soaking up the word that is being preached, let us simply do that, is know that we're doing this simply for the fact that we are to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are perfect. You are good. You are holy and wise. Father, you're infinite. We understand that because of your infinite nature, that anything that Scripture uses to proclaim who you are infinitely that thing. And so in that, you are infinitely holy, you are infinitely wise, you are infinitely just and loving and giving and forgiving. And Father, simply we aren't. We're none of those things, and we're certainly not perfect. And so, Father, we know that before Christ came and died the death that we should have died and paid the debt that we still should owe, we know that even then you were worthy of our praise. But we know that right now, God, that is as men and women in Christ, we get to stand and we get to glory and worship you, O God, because you are good and perfect and holy, and you have given so much for us. Father, as we take this time to pause and we pray for the bread, God, may it be, though it is a stale cracker, may it be the sweetest bread that we eat. Allow us to remember that it was the body of Christ that was broken for us. We love you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Father, as we marvel at the fact that a perfect and sinless being came and lived on this earth, a perfect and sinless life, And we as humans decided that we knew what was best, and so we crucified Jesus. Though it was for our sake a death that may have been necessary for us to be able to commune with you one day, God, it was still such a gruesome and terrible thing that us as sinners have done. And so, Father, I pray that as we remember the blood that was poured for us, that we remember the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given for us. Because in remembering those things, it will lead us to worship you so much more greatly. And you're deserving of that. We love you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And that concludes the Lord's Supper. As a total separate part, but yet a part of worship in general, we generally set aside this time to give thanks to the Lord for the things that he's given us. When we realize the magnitude of what God has already given us and that he's given us eternal life with him, we understand that he also has given us our possessions, our things, our time, our breath. And all God asks is for a tenth of that back. When you think about what Christ has done for us, it's probably an easy thing to give back, you know, if you really put that into perspective. So I'm going to pray for us. So let's pray. God, we are so grateful, beyond grateful, for the things that you've given us in our life, for our breath that you breathed into us, for our time that you have set before us, and for the people that are around us and the possessions that we have. Father, we are so grateful for those things. Father, allow us to give those back to you. In Scripture, it talks countless times about how, you know, you have already provided all these things for us. And, you know, we understand that there is a debt that is insurmountable, something we could never repay. And so let us, Father, just give with a joyful heart, with our time and our money and our possessions and our breath. So, Father, we love you, and we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll be singing number 922 following this morning's message, if you care to mark that. Before our message of the hour, we'll sing number 801, number 801. If you would, let's all stand together and remain standing for a reading from God's Word.
Once I stood in the night with my
oh my.
This morning's reading will be taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You may be seated.
The least of these, Matthew chapter 25. As JJ was doing the communion thoughts just a couple of minutes ago, I thought when he was talking about 1 Corinthians, talking about taking the body and the blood of Jesus, reminded me of something I read one time that a secular historian had written in the first century. He said, these Christians, these so-called Christians, they're cannibals. They eat the flesh of their Savior or their God, and they drink his blood. Well, that historian said that because he didn't understand. He didn't understand that the bread and the juice are symbolic of his body and his blood. Sometimes in life, things are not as they seem. Sometimes we don't understand things. Sometimes even things we've been doing for a long time, we don't understand. This morning, I'm going to talk to you just for a couple of minutes about a ministry that this congregation's been involved in since it started in the Florence area. Last year we had to pause because of COVID. But this year, hopefully, we don't get some strange new variant, we will be able to host Room in the Inn at Florence Boulevard. This ministry started decades ago in Nashville, Tennessee. There was a preacher that saw a need, so he started leaving the basement door of his church building in downtown Nashville open. And homeless people would go in there and sleep for the night, and then he would go back in the morning and their blankets would be folded, and kind of kept it quiet for a while, and it eventually became what we now know as Room in the Inn. I'm going to show you a video in just a second and hopefully dispel some myths and some rumors about what Room in the Inn is and what Room in the Inn is not. What Room in the Inn is not a solution to homelessness. Homelessness is not a problem that's going away, even in the Shoals. If you don't know of any homeless people or haven't seen any homeless people, I'll be glad to ride you around and show you some. I can probably take you to a place where we can find at least 8 or 10 right now. This is not fun. We're going to have some fun. We're going to enjoy one another's company, and we're going to laugh. We'll grow closer to each other, but this is not about having fun. We're on a mission to keep people alive. Room in the Inn only happens between November and March, the coldest part of the year for us here in the Shoals area. That's what Room in the Inn was designed to do, is keep people from freezing to death that are out on the street. What this is messy. This is broken humanity. It's smelly. It's hard. It's emotional. And sometimes it's frustrating. But this is the discipleship that Jesus has called us in Matthew chapter 25 to do and to be. This is also about spending time with brothers and sisters, enjoying their company, growing closer together. I could tell you a dozen stories about the middle of the night, things that we laughed about or things that we cried about or things that we did while we were sitting up watching over those that slept in our fellowship hall. I could tell you about all the meals that were prepared and have been prepared and will be prepared. I want to show you this video this morning. After the video is done, I want to make a couple of comments, and then Austin's going to speak to us. But when I went to the elders originally with this idea so many years ago, they asked me a question. They said, how many do you have to have to pull this off? I said, Jesus did it with a dozen. I think I can do it with a dozen. The first appeal that was made in this auditorium on a Sunday night by Harvey Dupuy and myself, I had 46 families come and sign the sheet and say they would help. We've been a year without room in the inn, and the elders wanted us to put this back before you as a congregation and find out, is this congregation still on board with this? We need you to help with this. There's a sheet right down here in the front. I'm going to talk about that more in just a minute after the video. But if you're willing to help with this ministry, I need you to sign this sheet and let our elders know. Give them some confidence that we as a congregation still want to do this. And if the congregation doesn't want to do this as a whole, then so be it. We have the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's watch the video. really, really simple. There's a piece of paper right down in front of me with a pen on this pad. We're going to try this a little bit differently this year. So we're going to get a little more bang for our buck, if you will. So what we're going to do as a congregation, if you choose to help in this ministry, is we're going to set up on a Wednesday night. That's one of the jobs that you can sign up for. We're going to feed and house on Thursday night. Then we'll take the homeless back to the intake center on Friday morning. And then we're going to feed and house the homeless people on Friday night. And then Saturday morning, we'll take them back to the intake center. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have a group to clean up and then go enjoy breakfast together. And then we'll be done for the month. This is only going to require you to help a couple of hours. If you can help set up on Wednesday night after services, sign on the sheet. If you can help bring food on food team number one or food team number two, Justin and I will both still be the team coordinators. We're going to alternate back and forth, and this will also save us an extra setup and cleanup every week. So we'll allow both food teams to feed every week that we do this, and we're going to do this one time a month for the months of Rooming In. So November, December, January, February, and March. We've only got to do this five times. But you will never know what kind of difference that you'll make in somebody's life. This is your opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Thank you.
I am the hands and the foot of Jesus at this point. So for a few moments, for the record, the elders said, don't worry about it, we can cover preaching. And I said, with all due respect, I would love to still preach. My leg is bad, but my mind is good. And I don't want to stand up. I'm probably not going to wear dress shoes because my left foot is enormous at this point and swollen. So I don't look normal. My leg isn't right, but my mind is good. I also want you to know, I think this is the most important thing, and that is answering my call from God. I've been called to this, and I feel each week a message that God puts within my bones, and I want to share it with you. And so I didn't want to take a week off. Mike and I have been talking about this for several weeks, and it just so happened that this Sunday would be the Sunday following my surgery. So I thought, what a neat opportunity. Because isn't that what life with God is all about? Opportunities. To my knowledge, He has not forced anyone or made anybody open the door of opportunity, but simply place it before each one. Two stories, and then a text in Ezekiel, and I have a couple thoughts for us. A boy grew up. As he would explain his home, he would never know if he was going to come home to drunken parents, if there would be food on the table. And each day coming home from school, it was a wonder what it would be like when he finally walked in the door. Coming in the door, it would be this and it would be that, and it was bad most of the time. He determined at a young age that he would take advantage of every opportunity presented to him to better himself. Rising from that life, from that home and that type of a family, he made his way and crawled his way out of that, became educated, earned a doctor degree, opened up a clinic in Tennessee where he would then help out communities of people physically with health. He farms on the side, has several kids, married, happy family, all of that, which I think is amazing. Boy number two was born into a family that didn't want him, and so they gave him up for adoption. Except this boy was brought in by a Christian family. Already having kids, they thought, one more, no big deal. What could we do to help out this child? So they bring this child in and they provide for this child everything that you could imagine, everything you could really want. Growing up, he had a Christian family, a Christian church family. He had they sacrificed for a private Christian education. All of those things that you would say he had the best of, this boy had. Well, as he grew up, he never really was mean about it. He never really was unappreciative. He just honestly didn't take full advantage of the opportunities. So here's what the boy had. He had average friends when he could have had great friends. He had a very mediocre and I would say even lukewarm faith when he was given every opportunity to be on fire. He settled for a decent job because he didn't really try hard in school and had okay grades. And now he exists in his adult life, stepping in and out of what I call the hokey pokey Christian life. You're in, you're out, you're lukewarm most of the time. Why did his life turn out like this? He just never determined to take advantage of the opportunities in front of him. All right, so now Ezekiel chapter 2. Turn there. I want you to see this. Because I do believe that with us and with our God, God is all about opportunities. And what is fascinating to me about God is he continues to provide opportunities even when God's people, even when his own people close the door. God provides opportunities even when we turn ourselves off to what he's trying to do. So in Ezekiel chapter 2, for the record, this is about the same time frame as Daniel. Israel is going through that same type of historical setting. The nation is divided between the northern tribes and the southern tribes. And so you have Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And this is who God is speaking to. And Ezekiel, the prophet, is speaking directly to that divided nation. And so in Ezekiel chapter 2, look at verse 1. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." Pause right there. What did God call his people? A rebellious nation. Now, in the Hebrew language, this word for nation is the exact word used when talking about pagan nations, like those heathen nations that you would expect to be called heathen nations. So go to my people, the nations, which have rebellious, bad connotation, and speak to them. For what are they? In several instances, again in verse 5, they are a rebellious house. But what about verse 5 stands out? Whether they hear or refuse to hear because of their rebellion, whether they choose to listen or not, what will they know? They will know that a prophet has been among them. God says this, "I give them opportunity whether they take advantage of it or not." Now, what has Israel been in that moment? They've been God's people for hundreds of years. So in their dwelling, hundreds of years as God's people, what might have they become? You ready, church? Calloused to the opportunity. directly in front of them. What is a challenge? And I feel like I've got to raise my hand because I can't see everybody. What is the challenge of being a Christian in this nation, in this area of the Shoals? The challenge is this. We might grow calloused to all the opportunities that God puts before His people. And in doing so, we may be tempted to become like Israel, refusing to hear because of a calloused rebellion against Him. God's all about opportunity. And God's people should be all about answering. In Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus said, "As you've done it to the least of these, my brothers, you have also done it to me." And so what has God presented before us again, even this day? An opportunity to answer the call. To rip away the callous. When it's so easy for us, day by day, week by week, worship by worship, class by class, conversation by conversation, simply to grow calloused to what we have in front of us. A shepherd told me once, talking about attendance and talking about the challenges of people and what holds people back from worship attendance. This shepherd said this, "Austin, some of our people have legitimate excuses and reasons why it's tough to worship." Then he said, "But there are also brothers and sisters in Christ that gather on a weekly basis to worship the Lord God in fear of certain death, that if they were to be caught, their life would seriously and legitimately in that moment be in jeopardy." What do we grow calloused to? Sometimes even just the opportunity to be here and to be free. So with room at the end, to the least of these, Jesus said, "As you've done it to them, my brothers, you've done it to me." What is this? It's an opportunity. Now some people say this, "I'm over it because they aren't changing. I'm over it because they aren't answering. I'm over it for whatever reason." Well, let me speak to you a couple of thoughts. First, what if this ministry isn't about them? What if it's about me and you? If God's all about opportunity, if He's not forcing anybody to make change or create a change, but He is giving you an opportunity, guess what? To be changed. And I think at the end of the day, this is what happens when we answer the call of God's ministry. We can't force people to change. We can't force people and make them do what they ought to do. But we can allow God to change us through it. That's why we plant seeds. There's no guarantee that a fruit will grow, but we plant seeds anyway. And as we plant and we water, who is it that brings the increase, church? God. And sometimes that increase, it isn't outward, but it might be inward. Because our God is a God of opportunities. And He is looking to change His people who are ripping away the callous, ready to be changed before Him in the work and ministry through the Lord's church, through His church. And that's the plea we'd like to give today. I'm going to bring it to a close. What I love about God is that He stands hand out and open regardless of what we choose to do in life. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's the text I want to close with. I want you to see the open invitation of God regardless of your choice, regardless of your callous, and regardless of your desire to hear or not. Just like Ezekiel's call to his people, whether they hear or not, whether they want to listen or refuse to listen. Oh, man. Sorry. You know what others I wanted to preach today? I feel like Satan tries to hold me down. And he's not going to hold me down. And I feel like you, at times, I bet Satan tries to hold you down too. And he's not going to. And I want you to determine within your life, Satan will not hold me down. Because here's what the scriptures say about the open invitation of our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, sounding so much like Colossians chapter 3, 2 to 12. And behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, verse 18, who through Christ he reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And we implore, some translations say beseech, we earnestly beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Why? Verse 21, listen, Christian. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The opportunity that God presents for his people, whether we choose to listen or not, is every single moment to be clean, and if we need to be reconciled to the Father. So in your walk of faith and in your life with Christ, if you need to be reconciled, which means brought back in a right relationship with Jesus, if you want to be made new, if there's something that has stained your life, that's holding you back, the opportunity is presented before you today. And what's beautiful is God, his hand is outstretched, open and willing to receive you. So Mark, I'm going to offer the invitation. Would you stand up here as I offer it? And if anybody needs to respond to that invitation of being made new, which means in Christ, where the old gets washed away and the new comes to life, or if anybody needs to respond to the invitation of reconciliation, which means I've wandered away, but Jesus is going to bring me back, you can answer that call. And we'll receive that response. And God will make you new. Rip away the callous and respond today if you need to. Let's stand up and sing together.
I hear the Savior say, my strength in thee is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thy all in all. Jesus, Savior, all to him I owe. Sin has left the prison stain. He was
would like to thank everyone for being here with us this morning. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a home congregation, we hope you'll consider us here at Florence Boulevard. We will be having Bible classes immediately after our closing prayer. We would encourage you all to stay for that. And if you're not sure where to go for your classes, just see one of our members and we'll be glad to get you in the correct classroom. For a closing song, we'll sing number 96, number 96.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension. I've nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp the infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty and from the
closing prayer, I'd just like to say that I've been involved with Rumanian, and I feel over the last year or so, not having Rumanian and not having Monday night for the Masters, that there's really been something missing in my life, and I'd encourage any and every person here to get involved in these programs that have been set up and approved by our elders, and I think you'll find that they make a difference in your life. I've sat down and talked with some of these people, and in words that have come to my mind is that for the grace of God, there goes I. I've had a good family support group and a good church family support group. And these people that are our guests at Rumanian, a lot of them don't have that. I've talked to some of them. They say their family just told them they've done something in their life. You made your bed, now you live in it. We don't want to have anything to do with you. Some of them have emotional problems. And if we just think of it in that way, there but for the grace of God goes I. We could be one of those people that need that help. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all that you do for us on a daily basis, and we know that we are so bountifully blessed, and Father, we know that we're told to be the salt of the earth, and that if we lose our saltiness, that we're not worth anything but to be cast aside. And Father, help us not to lose our saltiness as we go out into the world. We ask that you help us to fill our lives, to fill our hearts, to fill our mind with you and with Jesus. Help us to be opportunistic people, not opportunistic to make more money, to have more wealth, but to be opportunistic in that we look for opportunities to serve you, to help your kingdom to grow, to help others as you have helped us. We thank you for this congregation of people, our brothers and sisters in Christ that are there to encourage and to help us and just help us to help and encourage other people that haven't seen you, that don't have you and Jesus in their lives, Father. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for everything you do for us on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.